I just want you to know that you're loved. And as a papa to the house, I want all of you to be at peace. That's my greatest heart's desire, to have you guys at peace. And, you know, one thing I've learned through 68 years, that everything usually turns out better than you think it's going to. Amen. So that's our prayer and hope, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is really a cool deal today, because this word was birthed yesterday by revelation. And it's probably less notes and less study than most words that I speak, but I really feel like there's something significant. There's a few nuggets here this morning that God wants to speak to us. Really, the whole preface of the message is the temporary and the permanence. There is a temporary and there's a permanence. How many know that? Some things in life are temporary. Other things are permanent. And it's often the temporary things that have the most influence on us, even though in reality the permanent things should have the best, greatest reality upon us. And so I want to explore that this morning just a little bit. Because really, the thing that we have called the mind becomes our greatest enemy at times. The Bible even calls it the one that wars against us. The mind warreth against the spirit. Because in the realm of the spirit, all truth resides. Everybody say, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So in God, everything is true. There's only one position that he has called truth. And the truth is not some opinion that he has, but it's actually who he is. He's the essence. He's the beginning of truth. Everything comes forth out of him. And as a Christian, the way we become like him is that we begin to emulate his heart, his nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's speaking to us. And it's about this issue of, let me just read it to you. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, since we have this ministry as we received, we do not lose heart. For we renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds are the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then you go on in chapter 4 to verse 16. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Everybody say, light affliction is for a moment. Now, granted, when you're going through an affliction, it doesn't seem like for a moment, does it? How many know what I'm talking about? But he's saying light affliction is simply for a moment. This is a thing that's temporary in your life. The people that understand the difference between permanence and temporary are the people that really walk with a winner's heart and a winner's attitude. Because a temporary can so blind you to who you are and where you're at and where you're going that you can't see any other route. Which is for a moment, but it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen, For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you know, granted, I wish God would have made it the other way around. Right? So that I didn't have to look by faith at anything. I could just go by sight. Make life simpler, wouldn't it? But the overall picture is learning to look at the things that you cannot see, knowing that they're more real than the things that you do see. That's a challenge, isn't it? How can we say, I believe something, yet all the evidence is telling me the opposite? And that's kind of at the root of faith. Faith, people of faith are people that call those things as not as though they were. They have the ability to see the promise and reject the temporal situation that may be telling them the opposite. That's why in America I can be optimistic, because I can see the future of what God wants us to be. I see the temporary that we go through, that we go through the crises of the moment, and a lot of people live from crises to crises, when you should be living free from the crises of the moment, knowing that there's a greater promise to come for your life. Everybody say, there's greater things tomorrow. It's like when you live in the darkness, if you understand that the darkness is temporary, then your whole vision changes of what's going to happen, because you're going to realize that the light's coming. How many of darkness is bad? A lot of bad things happen when it's dark. How many have ever really been that frightened in the daytime? It's in the dark times you become frightened. It's in the dark times you become despondent. It's in the dark times that you become frustrated. It's in the dark times of your life that you become faithless, disobedient. But when the light's shining, everything's made clear. It says in the book of Psalms that we weep in the midnight. We weep in the time of darkness, but when the light comes in the morning, then joy will spring forth in our life. Amen? Jesus was in the darkest moment of his life when he went to the cross. I don't know about you, but I can't think of any more dark time than going to a cross. At the very depth of his darkness, it said the joy that was set before him enabled him to endure the temporary affliction of the cross. Because even though he had to go through a cross, the cross was not his destination. That when the affliction comes upon your life and the despair hits you, when the discouragement overwhelms you, remember, that's not your destination. It's in the book of Psalms, it also says that they passed through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. When you walk, he said in Psalms 23, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And every human soul that's here this morning knows what it's like to walk through a valley. You all know what it's like to be in the place of despair and hopelessness. But when you're walking with God, you know that that valley of death that you walk through is only temporary. There's something greater coming for your life. Amen. When Caleb was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years as a man of faith and a man of presence, he had a hope in his heart that one day the wanderings would cease. The futility of the wilderness would give way to the triumph of victory in the promised land. So we as a people, we walk through many days or many nights together. We walk through many valleys together. But because of our faith in who he is, the truth that he's established within us, we know that those days are temporal. Everybody say it's a temporary problem. Amen. I love this stuff. See, but God's called us to live in the light. He's called us to go from victory to victory, from transformation to transformation. He's called us to go from anticipation to anticipation, from faith to faith. He's called us to be triumphant in everything that we're to be. We're not to be given over to the nature of the human soul. that seeks the lowest place, but we're to be given to the highest call of the Holy Spirit that lifts us up out of this place of despair. Paul said that in Corinthians, he said, the sufferings of this present time that I'm going through are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's about to be revealed in me. Amen. There's many times in my life I've gone through a lot of challenges, despair, and I like that old country song, blues, despair, and deepest agony. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. How many have ever felt like that? It seems like when the bill collectors come, they pile it on, don't they? It seems like when the news comes, it just piles on. One bad news story after another. Oh my God, how could it get any worse than this? I went through a period several years ago when I lost my best friend, passed away. Right after my mother had passed away, my sister had passed away. And I forget who else. Your mother passed away. It seemed like everyone was passing away. I mean, it was a pass away year. And it really got to me after a while. And then I realized this is temporary. We're all passing away. I mean, it's a temporary occurrence. And that's one of the excitements about walking with Christ, is that everything in our life is eternal. You might not live to outlive this thing. You might pass away at 120. I don't know. But guess what? You don't really die. You live forever in Christ Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. So even though we live a temporal, we're going to have an eternal. There's an eternal purpose in everything that God does. See, the ability of God is that He knows the eternity of the picture. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows also how to create in you a path that leads you to fruitfulness and a path of destination. He knows how to do that. When you trust in Him, He will guide every step you take. He will lead you because His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are better than your ways. In God I trust. I like what it says on our coins. In God we trust. What made our nation great to start with? What makes our nation great today is because it's still a nation that was founded upon Judeo-Christian values, upon the ethics of what it is to be a Christian. And we stamped it on our coins to prove it to ourselves. In God we trust. Amen. The moment the nation loses that, we've lost our sense of permanence. We've lost our sense of eternity. We've lost our destination. We've lost our way. The moment you abandon your foundation, your rock in whom you believe, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way under God except by Him. The moment you lose that, you lose your destination. I'm assured of my salvation because whom I believe in is faithful and true to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. What all the things He started in me, He's faithful to complete in me when I trust in Him. Upon Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things shall be added to you. Wow. Everybody says, he's starting to do some good preaching. Amen. See, He identified as a priest with every one of your weaknesses. The beautiful part about Jesus, He didn't come as some elite person that lifted Himself above you. He came as someone that came below you to lift you up. He came as a priest who identified with all of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our fears, our anxieties, our darkest nights. He went right into the very pit of the despair of the human heart and brought a light. that would dispel the darkness. When you let him come in, all your days, all your nights are turned to days. All your sorrow is turned to joy. All your faithfulness is turned to faith. All your hopelessness is turned to hope. All your anticipation is turned to the reward of what God gives you. Wow. I love that stuff. See, the panic in your life comes when you can't see the conclusion. And when you can't see the overall journey of where you're going, it causes panic and fear. You begin to fear the things that are affecting you temporarily instead of understanding that those are simply passing by. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye. See you fear. See you anxiety. See you all this stuff. Because I know where I'm going with him. I'm holding on to someone that will never let go of me. He so committed himself to me. He said that I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's how committed he is to being part of your family, to being part of your heart. I say that to you today as well. As in Christ, I say it, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Well, how can you make such a statement? Aren't you just a mere man? Can't you fail? Yes, I can fail, and I do fail, but he never fails within me. If I do fail a little bit, pick me up, okay? Because you need me as a friend. If you fail a little bit, guess what? I'm going to pick you up because I need you. Well, I don't want to walk with people that fail. Well, good luck. Go find someone that doesn't fail. Go to the church of the perfect. I don't know where that church is, but I wouldn't mind going with you if you'll tell me where it's at. We all fail. We all fall short of the glory. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. But he keeps lifting us up in the middle of our mess up. A lot of us want to close the door and find us a dark room, and the light just keeps pushing at it. You know, come on, let me in. Get out of that darkness. I'm ready to light up your light. You light up my life. Amen. See, night always ends. Night will always end in your life. Be encouraged. Because when we go through crises or challenge, we tend to withdraw our faith, we withdraw our hope, we withdraw our love. It's amazing how many Christians got so bent out of shape over this election that they started cursing one another. And they got so bent out of shape, they thought, oh my God, the world has come to an end. No, it hasn't. It's going to get better. And my heart is going to get better. It hasn't come to an end. Oh, Jesus, you hung on a cross. Everything is lost. He said, no, you don't understand. Everything starts now. Amen. It's out of your experience of death that life is birthed. So I'm so disappointed. I'm so frustrated. Oh, my God. Get ready for some life. Just embrace it. Say, okay, I die. Lord, you killed me with this one. This election killed me. Okay, get ready to live. Don't fight against it. Don't push against it. Don't try to prove your point in it. But yield yourself in it. Yield your heart. And there's where resurrection comes for you. Well, I just can't reconcile. I just never can believe. I just can't do this. Yes, you can. You don't have to be a loser. Be a winner. Do it. Humble your heart before God and he will lift you up. Quit exhibiting the pride of your own opinion. It's in the humility of your heart that God exalts you, not in your pride to exert your opinion to the offense of others. If I were to stand up here this morning and just blast you with my opinion about what I think politically, I would offend you. But I have no intention of doing that because I don't want to offend you with an opinion that I have. Well, my opinion matters. No, it doesn't. Doesn't matter a hill of beans. The only thing that matters is his lordship over your life. Be found in him. Have not an appearance of your own righteousness, but an appearance of his righteousness. We Americans are so spoiled. I mean, we got people throwing tenter tantrums. Grow up. This isn't the end of the world. I tell you, if you lived in the generations I've lived, there's a lot more things to throw tenter tantrums over than this. I lived through the race riots, burning of Detroit and Los Angeles. I lived through the assassination of president and of an attorney general and of the great man, Martin Luther King, who, by the way, was filled with as many faults as you can find in a man. But yet I reverence who he was. So you're looking for some morality to make your opinion to judge others? Forget it. Grow up. Accept that your motivation, your heart, is all that matters. Because you are going to be judged by the motivation of your heart. How much you really can love in the midst of offense. How much you can forgive those that are unforgivable. How much you can give to those that don't deserve it. That's what you're judged by. Not by how much you can rail and opinionate, but how much your heart can be humbled to become accepting to those that disagree. That's not a political statement. This is a biblical statement. There's nothing to do with the political thing. The beautiful part about this whole political process, it exposes us. It reveals us. And we shouldn't freak out about it. We should embrace it. Oh my God, I didn't know I had such anger in my heart. I didn't know I had such self-righteousness. For you that are on the winning side, don't be self-righteous about it. Amen. Oh look, we defeated the evil people. No, don't have that attitude. Or the evil people defeated us. You know, but somebody's got to be evil in the midst of all this, surely. Yeah, look at here. Look at your own heart. I mean, I used to think the A&M football team was evil. Every time they played Texas. Now they don't play in each other because they don't want to reveal who's evil and who isn't. You see, I found that in all this process, in order for me to walk in the light, I have to keep positioning myself for the light. I can choose this bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, stuff that's out of me, and choose darkness, misery, despair, and deepest agony. Or I can choose the freedom and the joy that comes from Christ. Which this day do you choose? Your opinion? Or do you choose him? Well, you get on a plane. I brought this out the other day. I'm sitting in the cabin. So I've studied a little bit about aviation. So I'm sitting back there and I'm thinking, maybe I should go up there and give the captain some advice. You know what would happen to a plane if I took over? Well, all the relatives would be getting $1 million insurance settlement. I'd get up there in the plane thinking I know something about driving it or flying it. We hit a little turbulence. Oh, turbulence. But I got to get out of the turbulence as quick as I can. Sometimes you go through turbulence in a plane, you're thinking, why in the name of God doesn't that pilot get us out of the turbulence? Well, cause, but he knows that there's places you can go that's worse than the turbulence that you're experiencing. Because maybe you go higher, there's more turbulence, or lower, more turbulence or to the side or to the right. So he stays the course. Sometimes he avoids the turbulence. Sometimes he goes right through it. But he knows where he's going. He's not asking my opinion on how to fly the plane. Thank God. That's why he's paid to fly. Well, guess what? Jesus knows where we're going in your life. Think it not strange, brethren, when these fiery trials come upon you. Because afterwards, you don't understand it, but afterwards you'll begin to understand that God is bringing you into the place of peace. He brings you through the fire to give you peace. I don't understand that one, do you? But he does. The hard things you go through become the greatest stepping stone in your life for your success. Your disappointments become the opportunities for your greatest anticipation of victory. Don't get excited at once. Okay. Okay. You know, Babylon was a place where the children of Israel were in captivity. And they had been brought into this nation that had a semblance of prosperity. And it wasn't long until they began to be acclimated to Babylon. But yet they weren't living in the presence of God. So the prophets began to prophesy to them to come out of Babylon and go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, the place where the presence of God would inhabit. Well, only a remnant of people heeded the prophet's voice. And they begin to come out of Babylon. In Psalms 120 through chapter 134, it's called the Psalms of Ascent. It shows the beginning of their journey out, and it shows the fulfillment of their entering in to the place where the Lord once again was with them. And it is a beautiful scripture. I'm going to read just quickly. Psalms 120. How many get a little bit out of this? Everybody say, the motivation of my heart is the most important thing in my life. Out of the heart come forth the issues of life. You can become no greater than your capacity to see through the lens of your heart that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If you don't allow the light to keep coming, soon the darkness will creep in. If you let anger come in, anger will fester. I've had to repent. I like to wear this deal around. We need to wear a button. I am a repenter. We need to even have a better deal than that. A button. You press it. Beep, 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 beep. Repent, 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 repent. Because in the midst of all this conflict, and some of you know I can get very opinionated. Now, most of you don't know that, but some of you know that. And I have to repent. Not for my opinion, but for my reaction. Every time I would get a little bit upset with President Obama's policy, I always went back to the dream. I went to get a hamburger with him. Because as much as I dislike some of his policies, the Lord said, that's okay. You can dislike the policy, but you better respect who he is in your heart. Amen? You better respect him. Don't agree with him, but I respect him. How many know I don't agree with you, but I always love you. You know, I don't know if I agree with you or not, but I still love you. I'm going to love you in advance. See, and that's the way I determine to walk with the president or with the government, because the Bible says subject yourself to those that rule. I'm going to predetermine and subject myself to honor and to bless even when I don't agree. And that's the way I want to walk with you. Because I'm sure we don't agree on everything, but I refuse to be divided from you because of the disagreement. I'm one with you because of Jesus. He made me one with you. Hallelujah. We're stronger together. I love this slogan. We're stronger together, and together we'll make America great again. Hillary Clinton's motto was "Star Together." Donald Trump, "Make America Great." We're stronger together, and together we're going to make America great. Hallelujah. You say, well, what was Jesus? Was Jesus a liberal or was he a conservative? I mean, you hear people all the time tell you, well, he wasn't no socialist. Or he wasn't no this or that. I don't know what he was politically. I don't think he cared. Because why would God have to have a political affiliation? Because he is. I am that I am. I'm the one that started all this stuff. I think I would stretch it a little bit. I'll stretch my imagination to work because this is not gospel. I think Jesus was a liberal conservative. What do liberals say? Oh, we want to get no blah blah. It's freedom. Be a good sign, wouldn't it? Put in a bumper sticker. Conservatives won't bash our side water. You know what was that? Teenagers for Goldwater. You may say it's a mess. But in Christ, it's not the Lord and from the deceitful tongues. When you're in the midst of a dark place, a depressed place, you're listening to lying lips, lying tongues. You're listening to the wrong thing. And how are you going to get out of that? How are you going to get out of your own Babylon? How are you going to get out of Egypt? Just think, they were 400 years in Egypt. One penny. But there were a few that cried out, "Deliver us." The Lord heard from heaven and he sent a Savior called Moses to deliver his people from their bondage. You can imagine after 400 years, to say, what does that mean, freedom? What does it mean to be a free person? Well, son, I heard from my father and I heard from my grandfather and he heard from his father and his grandfather. Okay, if this is all true, if there was a time 400 years ago that we lived in freedom and as your people, if that's really true, then Lord, hear my cry. I want to live in your freedom. Just wait and see what I'm going to do to the oppressors that are depressing you. He literally destroyed a kingdom so that his kingdom could be manifested. And guess what? Throughout history, the world has been filled with dictators and tyrants, with despots, with regimes that have just... You see, we live in a golden age of history right now. We live in a golden age. We wouldn't even know how to recognize what it was like 200 to 300 years ago. The savagery and the butchery and the oppression of humanity upon the earth was unprecedented. Human life meant nothing to many of these civilizations. Not if it wasn't done by war, it was done by famine and disease. Entire swaths of the population would be wiped off the map. You better be thankful you live the day that you live in. Because we're living a day where the Savior is ready to reveal the promised land to you that cry out. Your promised land is right before you today. Your Babylonian existence can end now. The moment you say, Lord, deliver me from the lying spirits and the tongues and the deception that grips so many hearts. The bondage that grips so many, even this hour, that creates the division. Lord, deliver me from that. Let my motivation, let my heart, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When you have that, you're on your way to the promised land. Wow. The treasure in an earthen vessel that God's creating. See, what we're becoming as a people, remember this, you live in the great country of the United States of America, but also let me tell you and remind you so clearly this morning, there's a greater thing that lives in you and it's called the kingdom of God. There's a greater destiny in you than just to be an American citizen. As great as that is, the greatest destiny is that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there's a nation being born in you right now to change the world. There one day will come every despot, every king, every tribe, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You are part of a nation that will bring the light of His glory to the earth once again. We are part of a people that are ready to be revealed as the sons of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil and release the humanity from his futility. You are those who are called by God to become this upon the earth. Quit moaning about your little political issues and realize the big picture is far greater than you ever imagined. Presidents come and go. Nations come and go. Philosophies come and go. Ideology comes and go. All these things come and go, but our King remains forever. Hallelujah. Stand and give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Father. Woo. Praise the Lord. Wow. My. Woo. No wonder Christians can be just happy as a jaybird. We can just be so free from the turmoil because the turmoil touches us not. The confusion touches us not. The rancor touches us not. The division touches us not. We are one people with one God, indivisible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many got something this morning? I did. Wow. So I wasn't even preaching to you. I was preaching to me. I just preached myself happy. Whew. Man, let the light come in. Let the light come in, Lord. Let the light shine on our hearts. I want you to walk out of this place this morning free. I mean, let me declare it over you. Father, I declare it over everyone this morning. Freedom. Freedom from the confusion of the world, the bondage, the darkness, the things they're going through personally, whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, a political issue, or whatever issue. I don't care what the issue. Lord, I pray they'll come out of the dark place into the light place in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate, Darren. See you tonight at 4:00 if you're part of the school.